The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds, and all you freedom fighters out there.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. I love the rain.
Well, it is. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, when I opened the door this morning, yeah.
Today is September 18th, 2022. We've only got a couple of months till we clean house on the riffraff. And then we start maybe putting some of these people in the places they belong. Not, you know, I don't know, like jail, prison, concentration camps.
There's other places they need to go.
Yeah. We're brought to you by MountaintopMedia.com and Pecan. Patriots educating concerned Americans now. Just
yeah.
Just wanted to know.
They've been around a while.
And Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded. That Luke will take care of you out there. Also, shout out to Big O Tires at Jay and the Gang. You guys do great things over there. Love you guys. Our producer here is Liam. He's been doing a great job. And I guess I'll get to you now.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, all the gall of Vindus, energy, and move alive because stubble, force, nature, slayer of snowflakes, and she has more BS than a BS boy as Pia Tess.
Blah, blah, good morning. Kind of.
That was.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, at the end there, taking your ketchup. Blah, 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 blah.
Don't be afraid.
I'm not.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so, and the kid that rocks around the clock, faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than high speed download, the 10th degree black belt, and Ram Cyber David Johnson!
Good morning, everybody. Happy to say I'm recently banned off of TikTok after 1,900 followers were enjoying my content.
And well, you should be. Another fine mess you've gotten us into.
Yeah, it could be a blessing in disguise.
And, TikTok, Schmicktok, yeah. You know, everything's going crazy. If you haven't noticed it, everything's going. Is it not? Is it me? Everything's going crazy. People are crazy. You know, all you got to do is look at the chat room. It's completely provable.
Yeah, while we're looking there, all right, I'm supposed to do an announcement. They asked nicely, so it is the Meet and Greet School Board Candidates, Saturday, September 24th, 12 to 2 at Lake Reading Park at the gazebo area. So there you go. Don't forget that. So that's September 24th. And that's a Saturday.
All right. Well, it's rock and roll. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go rock and roll.
Oh, there's so much.
We got a sovereign Nazi in the chat room. What a moron.
So I actually had something that happened yesterday.
Is he from TikTok?
I think he's from, you know, mental case, you know, I got nothing better to do and I don't care and I don't have a life talk.
Well, and it was pretty funny. So there's this VR application called Big Screen, and it's where people can meet up, and I was checking it out yesterday. My wife and I were watching a movie together, and there's this political channel that's on it that's run by this Dr. So-and-so. And he's going through and he's chatting with these folks and having them ask questions But he only answers the questions that he likes that make people look stupid and won't end up answering any questions otherwise, but will berate you and then turn around and do all this. And so the best word I can use to define this was to gesticulate, which means lots of words and big hand movements.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's called sophistry. Yeah, that's what attorneys do. They make absolutely implausible arguments sound plausible by their flowery words and their extensive vocabulary. But when you come right down to it, it's like complete BS.
Mm-hmm. So, like, one of the instances was the mRNA vaccine completely safe. Completely safe. And so you ask him, well, why does the CDC say that there's risk of myocarditis? Why do they end up now saying a lot of the things that we were saying? That question never got answered.
Hold that thought. We're going to try to cover maybe some of the vaccine stuff in the second hour because we want to get this stuff out of the way. But there's a bunch of news on the vaccine stuff that came out this last week, you know, that we need to probably cover. First thing I want to do is I want to play some stuff from Dan Bongino this week. A bunch of good stuff came out this week from Derm's investigation. You can go to Technofog platform, and that's where we're getting the article from, and everybody's citing it. And so you can look at the actual article. I'm going to play this. This is Dan Bongino, and then we'll talk some more about it after he's done. But first, I guess I should plug my computer into the system so that we actually can play the video.
Howl the bird!
All right, here we go. Dan Bongino, this was Wednesday, I believe, when the report came out. Here we go.
You know, Pedro Gonzalez put out an interesting tweet before. I'm not going to put it up on the screen, but the gist of it was Americans are starting to grow up to the realization really quick and really fast that one of the biggest threats to their freedom and liberty is coming from inside the country, and it's not the white domestic terrorists Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland want you to believe. It's the FBI and the DOJ. This is incredible what's happening. Why the anger this morning? Folks, it's not just now the FBI is expanding their political targeting dragnet as they rapidly morph into bouncers for the Democrat Party almost overnight. We found out yesterday that the spying operation where the FBI spied on Donald Trump as president, spied on him as candidate, that's a fact. It's not open for negotiation, Libs. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. I'm not interested. Sit in the corner and shut up. I'm not interested in stupid. It's Wednesday. I'm really salty today over this bull. I'm not interested in your stupid. They spied on him. We find out yesterday I don't think I'm overselling it, an explosive revelation, a court filing by John Durham, who's investigating the FBI's corrupt, disgusting, anti-constitutional attack and spying operation on Donald Trump. We find out now that the FBI was actually paying the Russian source for Christopher Steele after they determined Christopher Steele's source was no good. Joe, do you have the whistle? Do you have the, I need a little like, I really, because I'm like about to lose my mind over this.
Here we go,
because
bro.
Okay, thank you. Okay, 15 yards.
Oh!
15 yards. Illicit, unauthorized law enforcement activity in violation of the Constitution. Replay first down. Wait, what? Here it is. Our buddy Technofog, he has a great Substack, by the way. The link to it will be in the newsletter. Read it. Read it. Bongino.com/newsletter. Durham shocker. Danchenko was a paid FBI informant. He says, we'll start with the most damning development. So John Durham filed this court filing yesterday. He's investigating the Spygate thing. Danchenko, who was Christopher Steele's, you know, Russian source, close to Putin, fellas. Danchenko was on the FBI payroll as a confidential human source. Remember, pay attention to these dates, folks. From March of 2017 to October of 2020, here it is. There's a filing right there. You could see it. In March, the FBI signed and defended up as a paid CHS of the FBI. Terminated their relationship in October of 2020. Now, Joe, you've been here a while. Guy wasn't around for this one. But do you remember, 4 years ago or something, I'm losing track of time, when we were writing books on this whole thing, the Spygate affair, and I told you I had a source that had relayed to me that in January of 2017, the FBI interviewed a number of people involved in the production of the dossier, and one of them specifically said that this is all crap. Remember that? I said, call me new about it.
Yeah.
I even know the names of the people, in the first names of the FBI folks that were in on the interview. So just to be clear, there's this allegation Trump colluded with the Russians. In January of 2017, I'm telling you, and I told you, you can go back and look up the episodes yourself, that from a unimpeachable source again, that in January of 2017, the FBI knows absolutely positively that this is all garbage. That the people are saying who are saying this aren't saying it. Go back to that. The Durham Shocker thing one. So if they knew that in January of 2017, how the was this guy signed up as a source when they know his information was garbage in March of 2017? So they fire Christopher Steele as a source in 2016. They interview his subsources in 2017, January. They find out Steele's lying, that the subsources are lying, that the dossier is a lie. And then they go up and sign the same guy alleged to have given the information to Steele in March of 2017, months after they know it's a lie. FBI, baby. Fidelity, bravery, and integrity. Guys are great.
Weird.
It's so strange. Where's the fidelity? The bravery? Any integrity left? Agency has disgraced the country, disgraced itself. It is an embarrassment to your taxpayer dollars. Of course, the story gets even worse. They needed to continue the big lie, of course. That's you may be asking, fair enough, good question. If they knew all of this was fake and the sources weren't telling the truth or the sources were lied about themselves, hey, the source said this, and the source says, no, I didn't. You get it? There's a difference. In one case, the source says something and admits it's a lie. In other case, people said the source said something, and the source is like, I never said that. Either way, it's a lie. You may say, why hire Danchenko in March of 2017 if they knew everything was a lie in January of 2017? Danchenko, the Russian source. Well, because they simply needed to continue the big lie, folks. None of this is complicated. The FBI are political bouncers for the Democrats. They needed to attack Donald Trump to cover up their corruption and Jim Comey's falling for, if you read Holman Jenkins' work in the Wall Street Journal, that fake memo from the Danish intelligence service. So they needed to cover it up. So they decided they were going to target Trump for a spying operation. That the spying operation was based on false information didn't matter. They figured they'd just sign up the next guy and let him lie. Here, Technofog. Realizing its own misconduct, the FBI made Danchenko a paid source in March of 2017, just before the third FISA was submitted in April. This would allow Comey's FBI to work directly with Danchenko in support of its counterintelligence investigation into Trump. Here's the kicker. Techno nails it here. Danchenko, being a confidential source, also served another purpose. It protected the FBI and the Mueller special counsel from revealing their, quote, sources and methods. How do you hide misconduct? You bury the wit. Again, just to be clear, FBI learns the Steele dossier is fake. They learn that the Steele dossier information comes from Danchenko, according to allegations made by many credible people involved in it. They go and they find out Danchenko's story isn't true. So what do? Instead of looking into Danchenko and prosecuting him, they sign him up to work with him.
Wow. Okay, a couple things. Okay, all this time, Trump and the Russian collusion. It's the FBI that's been colluding with the Russians. It's the FBI that has been colluding with the Russians to get rid of Trump. It's the FBI that maybe not even colluding with the Russians to get rid of Trump, but are using Russian disinformation to get rid of Trump for their own reasons. And so, and I want to say something about the chat room here, too. You know, I don't want it shut down. I want free speech because these people show you who they really are. They want the chat room shut down because this is getting out there and they can't stop it. And so I think we should just keep putting up with this moron. Because he has the ability to speak freely, it's just that he doesn't have the ability to say anything that's worth talking about. So, with that said, I mean, where do you go from here? So this is all, I posted it on Facebook, I posted it in the chat room, this is the article from Technofog, this is all the documents, shows all the court documents from the filing by Durham. This is, without a doubt, absolutely spot on. And Bongino's a little bit beside himself because he's starting to, maybe not even starting to. He understands exactly what's going on. Our biggest enemy is not the Russians. Our biggest enemies seem to be the law enforcement that comes out of Washington, D.C. They confiscated the cell phone of the guy who spoke at the BOS meeting the other day.
Well, it's anybody that speaks out against
anybody
the government.
Anybody speaks anything.
Whether it's the DOJ, whether it's the FBI, whatever. We know that they're all up there lying.
And we're going to talk.
And it's getting proved more time and time again.
And we're going to talk more and more about it because they can't shut it up. This was Dr. Doug Frank who came in.
Douglas Frank, yeah.
And so that's what they want. They want everybody to shut up and go away. That's been the whole thing from the beginning. You know, if you question elections, you're an election denier. In the meantime, they're the ones stealing the elections. They're the ones that have got the screwed up, and it's not even talking about the machines. We've got Facebook colluding with the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Along with Twitter and
along with Twitter.
Many things.
Dr. released the laptop. It goes on and on and on. But I don't want to get too sidetracked yet.
So here's an interesting fact, too, about the gentleman who was just here for the Board of Supervisors meeting who had his phone confiscated. The way they're playing this out, so this is from the
Daily
Caller. As of the 16th, FBI agent sees phone of Mike Lindell associate. So you see how they are tying all of these people in together.
Yeah, because they want everybody to be white supremacist, mm-hmm. insurrectionist, people that are against the government. No, we're against the government that has gone rogue and illegal and is no longer observing the Constitution or freedom or rights. And we do have a caller.
Oh, I know. And before we get there, back to his phone being confiscated and trying to tie everybody together, they try to, in particular, Mary Rickard, at the Board of Supervisor, tried to make it look like he was some kind of nut.
We're getting there. We're getting
okay,
there.
Okay.
I've got that on tape. We're getting there. Let's go
okay,
to our caller.
Okay, a caller. Good morning, Terry.
Hey,
are you there, Terry?
Good show. I'm here. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. I think that, Mark, that is a good point. I think that we had mentioned that this chat room should be shut down, and I think you made a good point. The challenge is that what we have is a guy that uses the F-bomb, Carl Bott sucks this, or so-and-so sucks that, or F-bomb here. That isn't conversation or free speech.
No, I get it.
That's disruption. And let me land the plane.
Sure.
And you're right about that. But it's free speech, but there's nothing constructive. And some people who maybe just don't want to take the guy on and enjoy arguing with him, it takes a situation to where people who may want to ask legitimate questions, and we've heard this, and I know this has happened on Free Fire Radio, people just don't call in because,
Then he's effectively doing exactly what he's trying to do, Terry.
If they won't call in, the chat room's useless. Unless you can control them.
BS. You don't have to control him. They control him. Every time he comes on with his filth, they shut him off. Every time he comes on with his filth, they shut him off. And if you people are too milquetoast to call in or type into the chat room or can't take it, cut his mic off for a second. I'm trying to talk. If you give in to that, you're giving him exactly what he's trying to achieve, which is to shut everybody up. That's what this is all about. It's about shutting everybody up. If you don't want to be in the chat room and you don't like the chat room, don't go to the chat room. If you want to call in, call in. But if you are too milquetoast and it upsets you too much, then just don't participate. This guy is revealing who he is. He is an absolute piece of, you know what? But why should the rest of us suffer not having a chat room? Because he's going to make it miserable for everybody else. I think that if anything, what we need to do is have another chat room, maybe two or three chat rooms. I don't care. But he's not going to shut down our free speech. He's not going to shut down our chat room as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what the guy has to say. Nobody else
does
either.
We don't have to pay any attention to what he says. Just ignore him.
Exactly. Everybody's ignoring him anyway. And as soon as he starts in with his foul-mouthed crap, he gets shut off.
Yeah, well, and honestly, don't feed the trolls. That's what you always end up saying and what you see on all the other message boards, and that's what I would say. I wouldn't even mention it or bring it any credence.
Sooner or later, this guy's going to get his comeuppance. Sooner or later, this is all going to catch up with him. But my point is, these people are revealing exactly who you think they are. They are filthy, no morals, people who want to shut down any discourse on anybody else that disagrees with anything they have to say. And I'm saying I'm not going to give into it. You guys do whatever you want. Anyway, moving on. Sorry about shutting you off, Terry, but we couldn't talk over each other. And it is my show. If I called in yours and you shut me off, I would be, okay, it's his show. Okay, so with that said, let's move on.
Let's move on because we're just wasting a lot of time
Absolutely moving on. All right. So, you know, and here's where we're going to go. I'm going to do a little more Bongino here. Okay. And I think that it's, exactly what we're talking about. Let's go to Jimmy real quick first.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Yeah. I just like to make a quick comment about control and or trolls. You know, you're right, Mark. By the time I see some of these posts, production has already shut the guy down, and I don't even read his post, and I don't think a lot of people read it, you know. So basically, production's doing a great job just shutting him down. He's not getting his message through. It's like going camping with a little fly around you, and you don't pack up your camp and go home. You just deal with it. Swat him away.
Right. And the real deal is these guys don't care. This whole thing is about disrupting. It's all about, you know, quelling your free speech.
Right, but I mean, you know, we used to give them, you know, some attention, but now they just shut them down. And like I said, I don't even see the guy's posts. It's like he's not even there.
Well, and everybody knows who it is. And if you don't like the chat room, don't come on. And I agree with Terry from the standpoint. This guy's, you know, an absolute troll. He's an absolute worthless human being. He's disgusting and so forth. But I want us to still be able to use the chat room. Maybe they can come up with some reason to be able to screen the chat room or something, but I don't think we should shut it down.
No. Anyways, that's my point. I'm not even paying attention to the guy, so I don't think everybody else is either. So anyways,
cool.
There it is. Have a good show, guys.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Okay, so the next one is Bongino here, and he was on our roll this week because I think he sees the seriousness of the situation here. And this is titled. This was done on yesterday, and this is Has America But Quietly Become a Police State?
Okay. Yeah, we kind of brought this up a couple of weeks ago. At least I did, about the standing armies.
Right.
You know, the standing army of America. And that's basically the same thing. And where we're going and what's happening here.
We probably should go to a quick break first.
Want to do that? What time is it? Yeah, we're almost there.
This is about 7-8 minutes or something that we want to play. So,
all right, with that, we'll go to a break. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Long as I remember being bent on the town, clouds of mystery falling, confusion on the ground. Goodness through the ages, trying to find the sun. And I wonder, who'll stop the
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Radio 96.5 FM 1460 AM. Let's get back to our Dan Bongino clip here. This is entitled "Has America Quietly Become a Police State?" Let's go with it right now.
Right, and there's really no way to say this lightly. America's become a police state. That fear I've always had is here right now. We're no longer becoming a police state. The police state is here, like right now. The bloated government institutions, FBI, DOJ, and IRS, are imposing unprecedented levels of control on you, the citizens. And listen to me. Zoom right in. It's not an accident, folks. Let's start with the disgraceful political power games being played by the DOJ and the FBI. When the raid of Mar-a-Lago first happened, I was one of the first to call out the abuse and overreach on the Justice Department's behalf. Check this out. This is some third world right here. Let me say it again. Third world. We don't live in Cuba. We don't live under Kim Jong-un. The management of the FBI has now shredded any single shred sliver of credibility this agency had left. Oddly, the DOJ is yet to bring any charges against or to arrest former President Trump. By the way, I gave that appearance on Jesse. I did that appearance the day this happened. Despite the left and their bootlickers in the media, they're still cheering on these police state tactics.
Oh, my God. The FBI raided Donald Trump's house in Mar-a-Lago. Trump's got busted for taking work home with him.
We are reminded again that in America, no man is above the law.
Because yesterday, we all got the president we wanted. FBI agents raided Mar-a-Lago.
Folks, they love this. This is the very definition of the useful idiot, man. And by the way, if the FBI were so sure in the DOJ of their justification for this police state raid, then why the hell are they objecting to a special master to review the documents? It's right there. What are they hiding exactly? I also said if they can do it to Trump, they can do it to anyone. That's kind of what happens in a police state. Once the DOJ and its stooges got a little bit of taste, they became drunk on power. Sources say the DOJ issued 30 subpoenas from more than 30 different Trump associates and seized the phones of two advisors, including Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell, he sells pillows. Pillows. So to be clear, the DOJ is going to save democracy by going after Mike Lindell and bath and bedding products? Maybe the six-piece towel set? What about the slippers? You think they're not trying to intimidate you? Well, you're wrong. We're now a police state. Listen, I could fill this entire monologue. This is deadly serious with examples of big tech censorship of conservatives, another hallmark of the police state. But here's the latest example of blatant, open police state tactics. Here's a New York Post headline. Facebook spied on private messages, private, of Americans who questioned the 2020 election. Here, from the piece. Under the FBI collaboration operation, somebody at Facebook red flagged these supposedly subversive private messages over the past 19 months and transmitted them in redacted form to the domestic terrorism unit at FBI HQ in Washington, D.C., without a subpoena. Private messages, not public stuff. Folks, you understand how dangerous of an abuse of power this is? The FBI used Facebook to spy on your messages, and then Facebook sent them, at least according to the source that's reporting, without a subpoena to the domestic terrorism operational unit. Are they looking into the slippers and the six-piece towel set, too? We no longer live in a constitutional republic, man. Sadly, this power grab's been going on for a long time. This isn't new. Remember reporter Alex Berenson? In 2021, he was suspended from Twitter for spreading misinformation with the dreaded air quotes about the COVID vaccine. Then, nearly a year later, after Berenson's views were vindicated, Twitter allowed him back. Well, it's so nice of them. But now we've learned, according to Berenson, who released internal conversations from Twitter employees, that White House officials privately pressured Twitter to kick Berenson off the platform. Sounds like a police state to me. And then the White House openly called for even more censorship.
There's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation on social media platforms. All of them remain active on Facebook, despite some even being banned on other platforms, including Facebook. You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others if you are for providing misinformation out there.
I got to stop it there just for a second. Who do these freaking people think they are? Totalitarian, dictator, traitorous people, lowlifes with no dignity, no shred of justice, no shred of legal reasoning. All they care about is power. And it's becoming more and more obvious that that's what they really care about. This is about a takeover. This is about a police state. The people that are calling everybody traitors are the traitors.
All right, so prediction time. This is where you take a good look and logically go through and figure out what is their plan. So in regards to this, I have one article that's going to lead this up. So this was yesterday on the Postmillennial. Influencer says he was offered money to spread anti-Trump January 6 lies on TikTok and brings the receipts. Attorney and TikToker, trial by Preston, revealed in a video that Good Information Foundation attempted to pay him $400 to spread unsubstantiated rumors and misinformation about January 6 and President Trump. I was just offered $400 to make an anti-Trump, Donald Trump propaganda post related to the January 6 investigation that is completely not true, Preston Moore said in the video. And he went down and went on to say, he said that the Good Information Foundation allegedly sent him important notes as to what to say in the video. Say criminal conspiracy, not attempted coup. Treason or insurrection. Say Trump Republicans, not Trump and his allies. Say January 6 investigation, not hearing or trial. Call this an attack on our country or attack on America or Americans, a criminal conspiracy committed crime. Talk about MAGA Republicans, etc. Make clear this is ongoing or unresolved, not past and done. Show voter agency, turn the anger into defense.
Well, it kind of feathers into what we've been talking about to begin with on this whole thing about shutting us down. That's what this is about. They know we're getting our message out. They know that people are listening. They know that people are starting to understand what's going on. They know that we're getting past their disinformation crap. So the best thing they can do is get us to shut it down. That's what it's all about.
Well, and so looking forwards at what they've set up, you have the Dark Brandon speech to where he came out and said 74 million MAGA Americans are basically domestic terrorists. You have this information leak from Facebook, which they need that to show what they already knew anyway, because they're spying on all of our phones anyway.
That in itself is illegal from the perspective is, if the government can't steal your private messages without court action, a subpoena, some kind of probable cause, they can't instruct a private company to do so either by proxy. That's what they're doing, and they're doing it through a lot of these.
Except that Biden just passed that AB law that gives them the authority, the executive order, to surveil us.
But it's all illegal. That's why, see, what they are is terrified of what's coming in November. They're not even going to be able to cheat their way out of November, I don't think. And they're terrified because when the worm turns, these people are going to be prosecuted for actual crimes.
So past that, here's my point that I'm thinking, is what you look at, what they're setting up, what we're seeing right now, it's only the beginning with these 60, 65 people now that have been served warrants, had their phones confiscated, and everything else. This is going to end up becoming something to where they're going to be doing this to individual citizens and after these people so that they can drum up all this hate in America. You've created a new class. This is exactly what they did with the Jews. This is exactly what you saw all throughout, like, it's happening right now in China with the Uyghur Muslims.
Why do you think they're arming IRS agents? Why do you think they're arming, you know, all these HHS and all the EPA? Why do you think they're doing that? Why do you think they're giving them weapons and guns? If you don't think it's to come towards us, you're fooling yourself.
Well, if we turn over everything in November, this could all be stopped. Everybody needs to vote Republican or vote the incumbents out.
Right.
Well, and you need to research who you're voting for, too.
Sure. I agree with that. At this point in time, I wouldn't even go there. I would make sure we turn over the House, period. I agree with you that there's rhinos.
No, you've got to be really careful because there is a new thing that they're doing, and they're talking about it.
Well, we already know.
The Democrats
going in as rhinos.
Yeah, Republicans.
But they're not really Republicans and they're not conservatives. You got to vote conservative across the board.
Yeah, you've got to really do your research on these people.
I agree.
And you'll still have a few slips.
Let's listen to a little more of this. Here we go. This is, we're back at Jen Psaki here.
Psaki, another useful idiot for the police state. So let me get this straight. The White House openly calls for censorship of free speech and privately pressures big tech to restrict your First Amendment rights because they don't like what you're saying about the vaccine? Folks, the Constitutional Republic doesn't outsource censorship tactics to non-state actors like Twitter. That only happens in a police state, which you're now living in. Perhaps the scariest part of this whole thing, the American police state, is the push to control every dollar you make and spend using a centralized digital currency. You don't even heard of this story? You better, quick, pay close attention. Don't doubt me. This is coming. People are pushing for it, and it's a horrendous idea. The pandemic put America on the totalitarian fast track. You've seen it. Here's the general manager for the Bank for International Settlements during the pandemic saying the quiet part about these digital currencies and absolute control right out loud.
A key difference with the CBDC is the central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability, and also we will have the technology to enforce that.
Yeah, that whole absolute control thing. Gosh, that's weird how that keeps coming up. You want to send a digital campaign donation to a conservative MAGA candidate? Good luck with that. They'll just freeze your bank account. Mm-hmm. Think the Biden administration wouldn't do that? Well, Canada already did something exactly like that during the pandemic. Remember the trucker vaccine protests? The government froze bank accounts hoping to stop their funding. Yeah, that happened. Folks, America is already a police state. But how bad can it get? Listen to this.
The nature of the CBDC, what is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that. Right. But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. And it was around this large and would be implanted under your skin. So that is the plan.
Right.
And of course, that has other implications on top of what we've mentioned, on top of the control aspects, because that actually enters your body. In my view, violates human dignity, and can be then used for even in terms of functionality beyond the monetary and economic transaction purposes.
Ah,
no man being able to buy or sell without.
Did you catch
one,
that?
Huh?
So the central bank digital currencies. Someone told this guy that they want to put chips underneath your skin. Listen, just like the vaccine, by the way, isn't that kind of weird? Listen, I can't vouch for what that economist just said, but he's a respected guy. And if he's right, it falls directly in line with what I've been warning you about, like forever. The vaccine was never about a vaccine. It was never about your health. The mandates were about conditioning you to allow government officials control over your individual bodily sovereignty. Again, America is already a police state. But Dan, how did this happen? Come on, how did we get here? Well, it happened like it always happens, slowly, and then it happens fast. I've been warning you about it for years. That's why the 2016 election was so important. It exposed the blatant police state tactics employed by the FBI against Donald Trump. We've now learned that the FBI, in their spying operation on Trump, shockingly, maybe not if the history of the FBI lately is sitting in the frontal cortex of your brain, that they paid your tax dollars for Russian disinformation to a source to get information about Donald Trump to frame him for collusion. Listen, I said it months ago, I'll say it again now. We are turning into a third world police state. The police state is here. You have a chance in 52 days to start to right this ship.
I think that's very powerful because he covered a lot of ground. He covered the Bank of International Settlements and their power grab with the World Economic Forum. This is all about control. This is what this whole virus thing was about. This is what the local elections are about. This is all about, you know, a one world government, the Great Reset, all of it, and they're implementing it. And I think he's spot on when it's, he says we're already in a police state. So
yeah,
it is what it is. So I don't know.
Well, it comes down to a handful of people are wanting total control over it, the whole globe. Is basically what it's coming down to,
well,
and they've made us part of it.
I think it's falling apart on them as well, but who knows? At this point, what's happening is people are starting to realize and they're wake up, and that's why keeping the chat room, for example, intact, in my opinion, is a big deal. We can't let them shut down our platforms that we do have. We have platforms where we're getting information out there across the board, whether it's on the internet, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Rumble, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Mountaintop Media, all of these individual places are getting the information out there. So I think we just got to keep doing it because I got that a clip here that we're going to play in a little bit about the BOS meeting that's very informative, this last one that had the guy challenging the election stuff. And I got that from a guy up in Siskiyou County who we hadn't talked for a long time, and all of a sudden he sends me down this clip about this. So I think that people are switching over to Rumble and other platforms to get information. They're turning off the TV. You can see it. CNN, Don Lemon lost his job this last week, and nobody's listening to these boneheads anymore, but you're still going to hear the noise. The noise is still going to be there, but it's like static anymore. It's like a freaking mosquito. You just slap it and kill it and move on. You don't kill your platforms in the process.
Well, and to that point, I think a lot of people are being de-Googled, and they're getting away from the Google strings. And that's what it's going to take. Is I know I'm starting to. I know a lot of my friends are. They're starting to go that route.
Well, right. And they're actually kicking themselves because what they're doing is they're now censoring so much you can't even find.
Well, they're going to start eating themselves. Is what they're doing.
Well, and so there's elements of that are already taking place. But
right. The
big problem is right now we've been in fourth and fifth generational warfare. Well, fourth and fifth generational warfare is control by means of media and control by means of what you can read and watch. Now that that's failing, it seems like they're reverting back to third generational warfare, which is still straight up warfare. They're using lawfare and they're using things like that to go after their political
opponents. The big problem that they have in America is that in order to take over America, you've got to disarm everybody. And that's just not going to happen at this point. So does that mean there's a war in our future? Maybe. Does it mean that we can solve this politically?
I think
we possibly still can. I don't think it's over yet. But rest assured that if it does turn to that kind of an ugly, these people that are walking around thinking they got the law on their side are going to have a lot of trouble, especially local people, you know, because people know who they are. They've been pointed out. They know exactly what they're doing. And I'm not threatening anything here. I'm saying that there's going to be a lot of people that are vengeful and wrathful about this whole thing, because when you start taking away people's freedom, when you start taking away their children's ability to thrive, when you start taking away their food, which is their you know, obviously part of their plan too, looking at all the food plants and so forth, when you start taking away people's freedom, and you're talking about people who have actually fought in combat, if you take that away from them, it's going to get ugly.
Well, to that note, though, there is a lot of things that are going on. So, like, take, for instance, that gun control bill where they're trying to go through. They're calling it another weapons assault rifle ban. However, what it actually is doing is it's banning any guns with a detachable magazine. It's banning any guns over 10 rounds. It's banning any pistols that accept a detachable magazine that are
doesn't
over
matter.
10 rounds.
It really doesn't matter, because at this point in time, they can do all the banning they want, and everybody's giving them the finger because
law-abiding citizens, yes.
Yeah, because people are going, I know how to make a gun. People, I've already got my magazines. You know, if they start going door to door and taking people out, they're going to have a war in their hands. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more of us than there is of them. So I think what they're going to try to do, if anything, is do what they did in all the other countries. They try to starve everybody out. So
they'll try to get to us in another means, whether
absolutely.
It's starving or taking our water or whatever it
or
is.
Or making it so terrible that you're looking to them for relief.
Yeah,
and that's part of it. So we all know how the battlefield is starting to lay out, and let's just hope we can solve this politically, because that's the way we want to solve it. We want to solve this in a peaceful, nonviolent manner. You know, we are the guys that are promoting the law, not breaking it. We are the guys that are upholding the law, not breaking it. It's the other guys that want to get rid of the law so that they have arbitrary tyranny, that they can use their power any they want to. It's obvious. You look at the raid on Mar-a-Lago. You know, they circumvent the Constitution. They circumvent the Fourth Amendment. They circumvent the process of probable cause. They circumvent the court system. And it's starting to come back to bite them a little bit. It's just like this special master. You know, they didn't want the special master appointed.
Yeah, if there wasn't anything to hide. So what was the big deal about not wanting it to be appointed if they were on the up and up?
Two things. The special master that was appointed is not going to be appointed by the DOJ. Okay. And the special master that was appointed has the records and is not going to give those records access back to the FBI. I think the FBI is afraid that in those records is the whole thing about the proof of the Russian collusion. I don't know what's all in there, but the special master going through them, because they confiscated everything. They didn't have a specific item on their, I mean, they're going through Melanie's clothes closets, you know, so they confiscated everything. Is there any evidence there that's going to show them that they're the criminals? I think that's what they're afraid of. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, these guys better be careful, because it won't be us going to the prison. It's going to be them going to the prison for breaking every law in the book to try to take this thing to the...
And I think that was everybody's thought. I'm sorry, Dave. In the beginning when they did this at Key Largo, was the evidence they were going after to go after the DOJ and the FBI, what they had, not necessarily what Trump had done wrong. They were afraid what kind of evidence he had on all of this.
Well,
I'm just saying that's always been
desperate.
Yeah.
I think they're getting desperate. I really do. I think this is an act of desperation on a lot of different fronts.
Well, and to that note, when you go back and you look at it, first they started in on Trump. They wanted to scare Trump and make him back down and make him just go away.
It didn't work.
Now they're going after the citizens now and trying to scare them and make them feel like, oh, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in this, that, or the other thing.
That's what this whole thing's about, is intimidate everybody. Mm-hmm. And you know, the most, I think it was Churchill that said that the most dangerous people are the people that will not be intimidated. because you can't control them. That's the thing with Trump. They couldn't control him. Whether you like everything he did, whether you believe whatever he did was right, whether you think he's part of the problem or part of the solution, he's not controllable.
Well, and that's why in the next 2 years, things are going to get very interesting, because they're starting all of this right now, because the people who are appointed in November can start looking into all of the things that they've been doing over these last 2 years.
Right.
But in addition to that, they're trying to start beating the war drum so they can start going after the citizenry. So there's no hope of a Trump return by 2024.
And I'll tell you another thing. People, if we turn over the House and the Senate or just whatever in November, we need to start putting pressure, not for investigations. We need to start putting pressure on prosecutions. I want these freaking rats to go to jail. They need to go to jail. They need to go to prison. And even worse, some of these treasonous sons of bitches should be lined up against the wall and shot. Okay? That's how serious this is. This is how bad these guys have gotten. So, you know, we need to keep putting pressure on our political guys, whether, you know, it's in the Senate or the House, to start quit milk toasting out and start doing something about this stuff. Uphold the frickin' law. Fire these guys. Get rid of their purses. You know, stop the money. Do whatever you got to do. Revamp the
I was going to say, we need to get people in there that's going to do that. And we have to start looking at people that can take those positions that will stand with us.
Well, and we need to actually understand what actually is at stake here. And what is going on? Because right now, people are looking at it on a national level. We are already at a global war. What we're seeing right now with these companies and what's happening, this is the World Economic Forum's private-public partnership. This is an article right here from them recently. We all know this is not the time for siloed thinking, but for collaborative problem solving. It's the time for the private sector to collaborate and promote social good and seek systemic change, for the public sector to facilitate market incentives.
Well, that's what they always do. It's all, this is always for your own good.
But
this,
you look at what they're doing on it, and you see Facebook operating with this and turning over all this evidence and turning over
but
all the rest of
that's why
things.
People are going to need to get off of Facebook, start becoming self-reliant, have your own food supplies. You know, if you haven't been storing and stocking, you better start doing so, and you better start doing quickly. You need to be to disconnect yourself from the ability to be controlled by these people.
But even more than that, you have to actually end up getting into the places that are not going to censor you. We have to stop building the economies of these other places. So, like, I got banned off TikTok. I'm not going to be doing it.
I think people are realizing that they can live on these other platforms much easier
and better than
being plugged into Facebook and all that. I get it. You know,
the only reason I'm on Facebook is I send out political messages constantly. Never post anything personal. Never post anything pictures of your family. But nothing but political stuff that's going to sway people's hearts and minds. And when they cut me off of Facebook, then I'm going to be on Rumble or any other platform that will allow free speech.
And I think people are getting that way and understanding the way it's working and what they can do and how they benefit from getting away from
and getting a separate economy, you know, the agrarian society that Thomas Jefferson envisioned, to where you're bartering and doing business with your neighbors, not some global power that can control you by stopping the flow of precious metals or strategic
and that's
metals.
What they're doing. It's all by global. Everything right now that we're going by is global.
Because they want
global laws. It's not the Constitution. It's global.
Because see, what they want is they want everybody to be interdependent. Dependent on everybody else.
On them.
Well, no. What it is that if they got everybody interdependent on everything else and everybody else, if you need this, you know, they can cut your supply off and control
you. But that's
what
I'm saying, by them. Yeah, they're in control. Yeah. They want to be controlled. Just like Bongino said about the CBDs, you know, digital currency.
Right.
Yeah, if you're getting it from the government and you're buying into that, They're going to have total control. Maybe you bought too many cashews. Maybe I don't like your hairdo today. Whatever it is, they have total control over you at that point.
Well, and one of the big things, too, is when you look at the World Economic Forum right now, one of their recent biggest missions for 2022 is to have venture capital completely start using ESG scores to determine whether or not you are going to get the loan or get your business to be profitable and have the help that you need. if they're going to cut you off completely from the system, you're indefinitely going to have only one thought form of people moving forwards. And the problem is right now we're already seeing it. We're seeing the rolling blackouts in California. Yep. We're seeing them telling you not to go out, not to charge your car, not to do the rest of this stuff. And this is what they want. This is exactly how you get to you own nothing and you like it, because owning anything is too expensive for you and you would rather stick to the breadlines.
Right.
And with that, I think we have to, we're at the top of the hour, and we got to pick this up on the other side. If you want to call in after the top of the hour, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
It'll run us till we're ragged. It'll harden our hearts. And love could use a day of rest before we both start falling apart.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Hundreds of thousands of people are expected to pack central London tomorrow for the funeral of Queen Elizabeth. It's a service to be attended by 500 prime ministers, presidents, kings, queens, emperors, and other leaders from about the world. President Biden is already on hand. The Queen's successor, Britain's King Charles III, has a long history of meeting U.S. presidents. White House correspondent Greg Clugston looks back.
Over the decades, Charles has met 10 of the 14 American presidents who have held office since he was born in 1948. His first such encounter took place when, as a 10-year-old boy, he met Dwight Eisenhower. The King never met Presidents Truman, Ford, Johnson, and Kennedy. In recent years, Charles has held talks with Presidents Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump, and Biden. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A federal appeals court rules in favor of a Texas law targeting major social media companies, including Twitter and Facebook.
Friday's ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is a victory for Republicans who accuse the platforms of censoring conservative speech. But the decision is not likely the last word on a legal battle that has stakes beyond Texas and could affect how some of the world's biggest tech companies regulate content by their users. A similar law, also passed in Florida, was ruled unconstitutional by a separate appeals court. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Puerto Rico battening down the hatches for Hurricane Fiona. Forecasters say historic levels of rain are expected today. Likely there will be heavy flooding and landslides. The storm will be slamming into a part of Puerto Rico that still is recovering from a string of strong earthquakes that struck back in 2019. Schools still shuttered and debris yet to be removed in that region. Meanwhile, a powerful typhoon has slammed ashore in southern Japan today. It's pounding the region with heavy rain and high winds. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's no secret, America. We've been let down. Inflation is taking its toll in the grocery stores, the products we buy, and the pain of every visit to the gas pump. At Upside, we're fighting back with our free app that pays you back serious money on every tank of gas or diesel, up to 25 cents per gallon, just for using the Upside app, no strings attached. Upside users have already been paid back a total of more than $250 million. With inflation and the soaring price of gas, it's easy to feel like you're losing control. But with Upside's free app, you can start putting money back in your wallet with every gallon. Whenever you want, cash out with PayPal, an e-gift card, or transfer the money directly into your bank account. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code SALEM for an additional 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first fill-up. That's promo code S-A-L-E-M. Remember, use promo code SALEM when you download the free Upside app and get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank of gas. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Once home to one of Africa's fastest growing economies, Ethiopia is struggling now as the war in its Tigray region has reignited and weary citizens far from the front are pleading for peace.
Ethiopians are experiencing the highest inflation in a decade, foreign exchange restrictions, and mounting debt amid reports of massive government spending on the war effort. Ethiopian officials paint a rosy picture for the country of well over 110 million people. But the Ethiopian Economic Association's meeting this month made clear the country is hurting.
Correspondent Jeremy House. As world leaders gather in New York next week for the annual UN General Assembly, China is focusing on another UN meeting in Geneva. Chinese diplomats trying to thwart the possible call by the Human Rights Council for further scrutiny of its human rights record as the against the Uyghur ethnic group in Xinjiang. News and analysis at townhall.com. Trouble for a leading ride-hailing service.
Uber says all of its services are operational following what security professionals are calling a major data breach. It says there's no evidence the hacker got access to any sensitive user data, but the breach, apparently by a lone hacker, put the spotlight on an increasingly effective and polished break-in routine. The hacker appears to have gained access by tricking an Uber employee into surrendering credentials. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, September the 18th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday, including actor Robert Blake. He is 89 years old today. Singer Frankie Avalon is 82 today. Rick Pitino, the Basketball Hall of Fame coach, turns 70, and we have 67 candles on the birthday cake of College Football Hall of Famer and retired NFL star Billy Sims. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is that?
And now we're back.
Now we're back.
We were like, you got to get with it.
Gotcha.
96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. I want to bring this up and start talking about what happened this last week at the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, boy. And there's also a lot there.
And I want to also talk about this letter from the New York Times. This is from Sean Hubler. You know, these people, you know, they all talk
they
about,
don't have any
well, they all talk stuff. About labels. You're labeling everybody this or that, and you didn't give me my pronoun or my gender identity and all this crap. But they're the first ones to call everybody and group everybody into a big, huge thing so that they can be discredited. You know, California where MAGA took control. Really? So let me see. Making America Great Again is now a,
being truthful and loving my country and,
times are grim. This is Redding, California. Times are grim in the cowboy far north of California. Wildfires rage and COVID-19 lingers. Wow. These people are so out of touch with reality. Well, maybe not. I think what it is they're in touch with fantasy. And, you know, everything they do is based on some obtuse view of what reality actually is. Lingering COVID? Are you kidding me? Do you know anybody that actually has COVID anymore? I've seen a couple guys get sick.
I actually heard about somebody that's pretty close to the studio. But that's another story in itself.
Okay, so then we could also say lingering colds or lingering flu, lingering
arthritis.
Yeah.
At least that one's lingering, actually.
It's really stupid.
It is totally stupid. But the thing of it is because they got to label us because we talk about the truth and what's really going on. And so, that's bad.
Well, and we're not globalists. We're not somebody that's just going to turn around and do that. So the idea and premise behind making America great again is the worst thing that could possibly be something that they could fathom.
Which is what? Following the Constitution and staying free and keeping our rights intact?
That's not going to be good for the environment. You need to sit in your box and eat the bugs.
And having elected officials answer to us?
That's a big thing, isn't it? These guys still don't get it down there. These narcissistic idiots, not all of them, but they think...
Where are we talking about?
It's like they don't care what you have to say. We're in charge. And then they go, but we're Republicans and we listen to the people.
Yeah.
Are you
prime example, Lindsey Graham. Everything he's been doing has been a hindrance to the Republican Party, and he continues on. He keeps turning around and bringing up all these big things and keeps putting it at the forefront of problematic things that are against our party.
And then we got, during Pride Month in June, the majority killed a proclamation recognizing the local LGBTQ yeah. community as contributions. What contributions? I haven't seen any contributions. And who cares? I don't care what they are. Leave me alone. I don't have to have a Pride Month. Okay. How about a Freedom Constitution Month? Oh, gee, that would be controversy, right? Because then you'd be some kind of white supremacist. Yeah, exactly. It's all about divide. It's all about division. And what has that got to do with anything? Okay, as far as Pride Month. I mean, come on, we're talking about these guys doing what they're told, following their constituents, you know, following the law, you know, implementing the will of their constituents inside the law. What does that have to do with LGBTQXYZFU?
Because it's all about my feelings. Don't you get it? It's about me
it's
and my
about
feelings.
Useful idiots. So
well,
this
it's bigger than that, because what it is they want to keep us separated. Right. So like yesterday when I was in there, I asked the question multiple times and was ignored. In that little socialist group and with that guy who was in there sharing all his information, I kept asking the question, how do we bring it back to where we are together as a nation? Because you look back and you look at historically, a house divided shall not stand. What are we right now? We're a completely divided house. We can't vote for another thing. Even on simple things, we can't agree.
See, what it is corrupt. They want their way of life and rights to override everybody else's way of life and rights. That's what this is all about, is one group gets favorable treatment over everybody else for now. Mm-hmm. Okay, right now it does until the you get the total control, and then it's like
yeah.
everybody's kind of...
Until they start getting squeezed.
You're kind of, you know, wanting too much food this week. So yeah. So with this week, I'm going to keep reading the article, Douglas Frank, a high school math and science teacher from Ohio. Well, you know, a high school math and science teacher from Ohio. Let's see, he's a Nobel Prize nominee, a physicist, chemist, mathematician, and minister, so he's
yeah, but if you're reading this article, you know, he's
just some schmo that taught high school.
Conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, he doesn't have any doctorates, no graduate degrees, nothing.
No, which brings me to Mary Rickard and her doing the Google thing.
Well, we're going to get
meeting.
I've got the clip. Let's go to the clips and then we can talk a little bit more about this, because this was the BOS meeting, and this is
the BS meeting. Can we get rid of the O?
This is the
BS meeting.
This is the BOS BS. And so what we want to do is we want to play the first clip. This is Dr. Frank going up there and speaking about our elections. And I'm not going to play the whole thing. If you want to see the whole clip, I will post it on Facebook and I'll put it in the chat room. So anybody
you
who
can
wants
go to Rumble.
Go to Rumble, and under Rumble, it's you have to look up election fraud in Northern California, and it was posted on September 15th by Freedom of Speech.
Mind you, this is the same guy that moments after giving this speech, after he flew back and stepped off the plane, had his phone confiscated.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
how
and
big this is.
And tied into Mike Lindell.
Yeah, because this is a real sham.
Yeah, because they're making this
like
all up.
Like a pillow sham. You know,
you gotta be.
Okay,
don't
stop.
Cut the tongue out of the man who is a liar. You cut the tongue out of a man.
You gotta be afraid of your pillows now. Be afraid of your pillows.
If you cut the tag off the pillow, the FBI will be confiscating your phone. All right, so here we go.
If you do it to your shoes.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you, gentlemen, ladies.
Welcome.
Ever since I learned there was a large group of active patriots here, I've been anxious to come talk to you. The unrest in your community is growing, and I expect I'll be back again soon. My specialty is coaching local groups on finding real, actionable election fraud. Fraud they can take to their sheriffs, their election officials, and local courts. I start with official election records. My last is going to be on. Official election records. And census data, and then I use my experience and statistical methods to help the local people prepare a list of addresses where they find voter fraud, where it's being hidden. And then we send out canvassers to confirm it. So we start with the digital evidence. We find where to go look. And then we send people who actually confirm it with their own eyes. They collect affidavits. So this is hard, legal evidence of fraud. The local citizens will be bringing you hundreds of cases of undeniable fraud. Not just problems with the rolls. Yeah, you have problems with the rolls, but they're going to bring you fraud as well, documented fraud. And you're sworn to protect their constitutional rights, but they're currently being disenfranchised from their sacred right to vote. You hear their frustration. You already have a growing movement in your community. The more you try to suppress it, the more it's going to grow. So I've provided each of you with a packet containing 12 pages, and I only have 3 minutes, so I'm going to have to go really fast. And I apologize for the printing. You know, as is always the case, the printers always fail at the last minute. But if you want it digital, I can provide it to you as well. Basically, page 2 summarizes my qualifications. I've been traveling the country. I've been working with 43 states. I was originally started with the Pennsylvania legislature. They asked me.
So I want to stop it there just for a second so we can talk about a little bit of the qualifications here. This is on the screen. See, as a PhD in surface electrochemistry, 6 peer-reviewed scientific publications, design and manufacture of custom surface analytical devices, advanced mathematics and science teacher for extraordinarily gifted students, nationally recognized expert addressing election fraud in the 2020 general election, most recent work with the Pennsylvania legislature, featured in Mike Lindell's documentary Scientific Proof and Absolute Inference or Interference, currently working with grassroots teams in 43 states, with expert witness in multiple lawsuits at national, state, and local levels, hundreds of public appearances and media interviews, and he was born here in Redding, California, which is kind of an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a high school student.
Yeah, and all those other things he's done in all the other 43 states.
And the only reason
they think
I know
they don't get it, right?
I'm just illustrating this to show what a hit piece this is. These people, they don't paint an unbiased picture. They use every power at their disposal to discredit anything that goes against the narrative of election
fraud. Again, Mary Rickard.
Because they don't like anybody challenging the status quo, which is them in power right now. And that's all this is. So let's go on.
And we proved massive fraud. They acknowledged it in the state as well. So it's not a harebrained scheme. It's not a conspiracy. It was formally acknowledged by them. It's been formally acknowledged by the Speaker of the House of Wisconsin as well, Speaker Voss, who I work personally with to accomplish those ends. Page 3 that I give you summarizes what I've got in this packet. But basically, I'm giving you a bunch of graphs, and each one of the graphs shows you a kind of a overview of the statistics that I'm able to do. Page 3 summarizes, page 4 summarizes the Shasta County election history. You'll notice that, here, if I put it here, you see, yeah, good. You'll notice that your registration rate is growing faster than your population. In other words, you're adding people to the rolls faster than your population is growing. Your voting is also growing faster than your population. It's becoming far more volatile. You can see that on page 5. I show that your data don't reconcile with the Secretary of State on page 6. Yeah, I'm running out of time. I get it. There's no way I could do this in a short amount of time. Page 7 summarizes the overall statistics. And basically, on my summary page, the last page, multiple analysts have confirmed this, blah, blah, blah. You should come and hear me talk tonight. I can go into more detail. But I've given you also, I knew it would be tight with only 3 minutes. Thank you for the few extra seconds. I've given you questions as well at the end that you could ask if you're interested. So anyway, I'm at your disposal and happy to be here. And I don't see you as the enemy. I see you as our most important allies.
So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to move the tape forward here because I want everybody to go listen to this in its entirety, and we don't have time to do the whole thing. But I want to get to the part where Mary Rickards comes in and Les Baugh, and let's hear what they have to say. This is after Jones is asking questions, and here we go. I think we got one question from Jones at the end here.
Feeling that our elections are safe and secure.
Yes.
And it's just a feeling that I have because I'm not an expert like you are. But how are we going to restore trust to the voters so that we can ensure that we have free and fair elections? I further found out that a complete review would be a good way to be able to do that, many of the things that you've mentioned. So far, our county clerk has been unwilling to do that. And it sounds like many other clerks from your experiences are unwilling to do that. Why are they unwilling to, I mean, if I had a question in my county of not feeling secure about the elections, because I've never had this feeling years ago, it's a feeling that I've had more recently, along with half of the population of the entire country, why wouldn't you want to get to the bottom of that? What's the reluctance of county clerks across the country, including our own, to being able to show the public one way or the other whether we do have free and fair elections or not? Why do you why that pushback?
I hear two questions in there. The first question has to do with trust. And, you know, I get this a lot from secretaries of states when I speak to them. They're like, we don't want you going around telling everybody there's fraud in our elections. We're trying to improve confidence in our elections, and you're only making it worse. And I said, it's not me. You know, right now we're already, in December, Rasmussen said over 60% of the public already doesn't trust the outcome of the 2020 election. So we're already past that point. So even if I was completely wrong, even if all the conspiracy theorists were completely wrong and the election was perfectly full of integrity, that we have a crisis of trust. So that's the first thing. There is a crisis of trust. Now, I think that our clerks, I've met with hundreds now. Many of them know they have fraud, but they're afraid to speak out because they don't want to happen to them what's happened to Tina Peters in Colorado. If you step out, the whole infrastructure comes down on you, and it's not a very good situation. So that's one of the reasons. Another thing is, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of clerks are afraid to look. This is their job. They're working hard. They're given a checklist, and they're told, you know, if you follow this checklist, your election will be secure. And so when I come in and say your election is fraudulent, they're like, well, show me on the checklist where I didn't, you know, it's like they view that as a personal accusation. And it seems like I spend the first half of my interviews with clerks just assuring them I'm not after them. I don't think they're the bad guy. I think they've been given an impossible task to do, which is to use computers and electronic equipment to have a secure election. It's impossible. I'm telling you right now, I'm a computer programmer. I build electronics for a living. I've been working with national security experts in for our military, for national security, and our homeland security. There is nothing that is secure. If you can't secure your banks and you can't secure, you know, what makes you think you can secure your elections? So I think I've answered your questions there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Supervisor Rickard.
Yes, thank you for coming today. I have a couple of questions.
My pleasure.
Do you get compensated for this work?
I'm here today. They paid for my plane ticket. That's it.
Okay. Well, I was just Googling you, and here's a quote from an article. It says, at the core of how our democracy works is that we have to trust election results, said Justin Grimmer, a political science professor at Stanford University, and he's referring to you. Luckily, the theory, meaning your theory, is so crazy that I think the only people who really want to believe or really, really want to see some conspiracy in the world would be persuaded. But nevertheless, I think there's a real danger here. So not everyone is supportive of you. We have professors from Stanford University that question your theory.
I had a scholarship there for physics, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I understand, but I'm just saying that, you know, if you Google...
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Yeah.
And I just want to say that, to be fair and balanced, that, you know, that not everyone in this country is...
Oh, I agree. Can I make a comment to that?
And so, we know Google's 100% accurate.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So if the supervisor could refrain from interrupting while one is presenting.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt as well. Yeah.
Yes. Well, anyway, I just want to point out that,
yes,
that you know, not everyone will agree.
And, I know this.
And I do think that we have public comment going on here, and I would ask the chair that we continue with public comment and discontinue this presentation.
Can I make one comment to that?
So we're done with the public comment there. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, very good. Very good. My pleasure.
And just to clarify, supervisors may continue with public comment, but that's not at the decision of the person speaking. Okay?
Thank you.
Instead of
3
minutes, he's been given 20 minutes. So we are grateful for that.
And as usual, Bob playing the crowd like he's
right.
A great guy doing a great thing, but he shut down the discourse. They didn't keep asking questions, and he voted not to have the election looked at.
Of course.
Yeah, and so whose side is Baugh on? You know, it's always like, oh, he's a I just get so tired of this. Oh, they're staunch conservatives, but they always seem to vote in
but he's
stuff.
Leaving office, but they missed the whole thing. To me, they missed the whole thing about that. It wasn't attacking Kathy Darling necessarily. It's the system. It's what's happening to make sure that we have a true election.
Because we don't trust them anymore. We've seen, it's all about conspiracy theories. Oh, yeah. So the FBI colluding with Facebook's a conspiracy theory. Only it's a fact and it's proved. And the 2,000 mules, just a conspiracy theory. Only they got it on tape and they got it proven that it's fact. And then the FBI conspiring against Donald Trump, conspiracy theories. No, fact.
Are we talking about the one before the election or the one?
I'm not even sure anymore because there's so much proof that these guys are all in collusion.
Or the one during his presidency or the one now afterwards. Like I'm really confused because there's only been like five times.
Was it the Mueller investigation? Nope. Was it the impeachment proceedings?
I vaguely remember something about the Steele dossier.
Steele dossier. Yep. I think that's it. And then after the election, you know, in the 2000. So there's just conspiracy theories. There's no facts here, even though there's 10. You know, we just cited five or six provable conspiracies with regards to election meddling.
Well, and to this point too, I feel it's important to read this from Dr. Frank. This was on September 15th, shortly after they had taken his phone. The FBI confiscated my phone today. Two FBI agents met me as I got off the plane today. They were polite and professional. We smiled at each other knowingly as they approached me. Of course, they knew that I knew that they knew that I was expecting them to be there. We shook hands, and I cooperated fully with them. They had a warrant to confiscate my phone. Nice guys, just doing their job. I told them that we were on the same side, fighting for our country. I was even wearing my bold American flag shirt. They appreciated my cooperation and promised to return my phone to me quickly in person after taking a forensic image of it. Ironic, isn't it? Them taking a forensic image of my electronic device. I'm in good spirits, but annoyed that I don't have my phone. Phones have become so much indispensable these days. After the fabulously successful and productive meetings at the events in Colorado and California this week, it would be hard to dampen my spirits. Best of all, Nell gave me lots of hugs and kisses when I got home.
Okay, and let me ask you this. What was the reason for taking his phone? Do we have a legitimate reason for him getting his phone confiscated? Or is this just another conspiracy theory? Because
this is a fishing expedition.
Don't you have to have probable cause? Don't you have to have committed a crime or be suspected of committing a crime? Or is this a person and they're trying to find a crime?
It certainly seems like they're in violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Just saying, no, but we can do that to anybody we want because we're the government and the useful idiots just, it's all conspiracy theory, even though they're conspiring right now to fix this election by going after anybody who's a MAGA supporter.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I have an article here from September 16th, 2 days ago. Delaware judge rules mail-in voting unconstitutional via TimCast. So Delaware has been required to stop no-excuse mail-in voting after a judge ruled the practice unconstitutional. Vice Chancellor Nathan Cook's ruling blocked Senate Bill 320, which was passed by the state legislature in June. Governor John Kerry signed into policy on law of July 22nd. The law allowed any registered Delaware voter in November general election to mail-in ballot, which had been requested from the Department of Elections. Voters were permitted to use mail-in ballots during the 2020 election while Delaware was under a state of emergency declaration.
Again, what are they hiding?
Well,
they won't even look at anything. Our Board of Supervisors here will not look at any aspect of the election process that we got going. Nope, nothing going on here, nothing to see, no problems, no matter how much evidence is put before them.
Let's go back to this article from the New York Times. Okay, so this was dated September 16th, 2022. And in the article, they're interviewing Leonard Mody. What? The guy that got recalled, why are they interviewing Leonard Mody? He's got no axes to grind, right? He's not a little torqued because...
Oh, he didn't get real upset and want to suck his thumb because he got recalled.
And he, something about getting even, anyway. I was born and raised here, spent 31 years in law enforcement, maybe it was the problem, and was involved in 15 different civic organizations. I remember when people were being reasonable, said Loder Modi, fourth term supervisor and former Reading police chief. But what they didn't say is that he got recalled. He got recalled for malfeasance because he was using his political power for his personal gain. I guess that just slipped through the cracks.
No, that doesn't make him a bad person. Don't you know that? Come on, ask Mary Rickard.
After disenfranchising most of his constituents, after disrespecting anybody that came up and asked him questions, I mean, we were there. We saw it all. This guy was the absolute epitome of narcissistic government. And he got recalled, but I guess that just didn't make the article. He's a former, he's a Republican, but he's been being announced as a Republican in name only, kind of like Mary Rickard, a Republican supervisor who overcame the recall attempt. She didn't overcome crap.
Nothing.
She didn't
have no idea how many signatures were collected for her.
So first of all, they didn't, and she didn't get put on the chopping block only because we had such a hard time with Modi. We would have gotten recall if there wouldn't have been smoke, 110 degrees.
Right.
You know, the worst hazardous air
conditions.
That's what
they say. They have no idea how much information.
40 years in the county, and Modi's burned out district with half the people gone. Yeah, they have no idea. She didn't do anything, except we ran out of gas because Modi was so hard to get because of the conditions of the weather and the fire and everything else. But they mentioned that she overcame the recall attempt, but they don't even mention that Modi was recalled.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And to ask him, so again, also another one that ties right into this, September 16th, 2 days ago, from Timcast. So Biden announced the launch of a new website dedicated to countering hate-fueled violence and domestic terrorism during the United We Stand Summit at the White House on Thursday. We have to stand united against hate-filled violence because it's real. And you know better than anyone to affirm that an attack on one group of us is literally an attack on all of us, the president said before detailing the Charlottesville car attack of 2017 as the reason he ran for office, which that's also false. Biden then recalled former President Donald Trump's remarks about the car attack. We're launching a new White House incentive on hate speech motivated violence, said Biden. We're going to use every federal resource available to help communities counter hate-fueled violence, build resistance, and foster greater national unity.
So let me read a little more.
Before you go, I think we've got to go to a break and then we'll come back. That'd be a good place to
take a break. I want to go back up to the top and talk about that. They do mention the recall, but they don't mention it was Modi that was recalled.
Right. And with that, we'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
But I never gave in, so he gave up on me. I'm no stranger to the rain. I can spot bad weather, and I'm good at finding shelter in a downpour. I've been sacrificed by brothers, crucified by lovers, but through it all, I've withstood the pain. I'm no stranger to
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE. Or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi,
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. And you're listening to 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. And, wow, a lot of stuff going on today. You know, a couple things, you know, about the clip we heard from at the BOS meeting was we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, just saying. Yeah. And conspiracies. There's no conspiracies, are there?
No, none at all.
They're all just,
you know, and out of that, you know, I understand we would like to go back and go through the last election, but what are they going to do going forward? Are they going to allow us to not have the machines? Are they going to allow us to be more open?
That's absolutely, you know what I mean? Spot on. That's the real deal. The real deal is we want to correct this problem. We want to make sure we have,
we don't go through it again.
That's right. We want free and fair elections. That's all. I don't think that that's, I don't think that should be a conspiracy theory. I think that being able to verify and make sure our elections are free and fair is kind of supposed to be the point of the whole deal.
Exactly.
And if you can't, and if you're not willing to address that, and you're not willing to have an audit, why should we be willing to trust it?
Well, why should we be willing to pay you and have you oversee that if you're not going to do the will of the people and let us have access to the proper stuff?
Or get rid of them. If it's the will of the people to go back to hand counts,
right,
get rid of the mail-in ballots, get rid of the ballot box, and that's the will of the people, then by God, that's what they need to do as our elected representatives,
right,
to uphold the Constitution and our freedoms. Okay? I don't think that's that hard to understand. Why is there such resistance about getting rid of Dominion voting machines when we've got the legitimate proof that they do have wireless modems in some of them, the ones that we've opened up, that we do have proof that they've changed the election results in several cases, that we do have proof that you can hack these things and they can be programmed and they do change the numbers. So we should just keep doing it because we like them, right?
Well, you would think even they would, again, we're going back to like Keela, that they would want to do that, you know, look at all that. So everybody would be on the same page.
Do you know what the people and the liberals in power, what they care about? They don't care about what you want. They don't care about the Constitution.
But what are they afraid of if it's all up and up?
So you have these problems with this, and the feeling that I'm getting from seeing all these people is, oh, you don't like the way we vote? Well, let's have a vote on it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And clean up your voter rolls and all that.
And if, let's say that it's legitimate, and they prove it's legitimate somehow. Okay, I'm moving to frickin' South Dakota because California's going into the frickin' toilet.
Mm-hmm.
because California is imploding right now. The economy is imploding worldwide because of their leftist policies, because of their new, you know, reset and their one world governing thing that they want to do with the money and the food and all this crap. And everything's imploding. Well, I want to go someplace where I'm allowed to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, I'm not sure that exists anymore.
Well, that's the hard thing. I mean, there's a lot of cases right now that actually looks like people in Mexico are having more freedom and less tyranny than we are here. And right now we're looking at the global outlook. Goldman Sachs just cut the 2023 outlook for U.S. growth. And we also have another indicator from the Washington Post that says that this indicator is deeply negative. I mean,
we're getting them from all over the place. Yep. It's not just the Washington Post. Goldman Sachs has come out. Bank of America has come out. I think what they're doing is they're front running this economic collapse that we're already in, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We're already collapsing. But, oh, the stock market. No, the stock market is not even the big indicator. The indicator is the debt market. And as soon as that thing starts to skyrocket, the market's going to collapse over in the stock market. So we're already in collapse because GDP is shrinking the fastest it shrank in the history of the world right now, okay? And so it's only a matter of time before you can't get goods and services at the grocery store. But
there is none to get because we're not growing or manufacturing anything.
Well, now, I did want to give credit where credit is due. Microsoft is working with a nonprofit to transition coal-fired power plants to nuclear. And so there may be some good news on the horizon, because once we start getting nuclear, that is a much better, cleaner resource that actually works. So at least there's some brains in the room that might be thinking towards a logical decision rather than just wind and solar and rolling blackouts for the rest of our lives.
Well, you know, let's see how it goes, because we've got to start shifting to stuff that is actually going to work and do the job.
Right.
You know, it's like this whole wind and solar garbage. It's just like the climate change and the whole pandemic. It's not about fixing the pandemic. It's not about, you know, fixing climate change. It never was. It's about control and implementing these things of control. Because right now, if you got rid of all of the other means of electricity, you could actually light up the world for like, 11 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it doesn't work the way they want it to.
This entire last week was for the people that are curious about green energy. On the President's Daily Brief, from Monday through Friday, he had an entire week dedicated to the breakdown of what is actually the truth behind this dirty green energy. And a lot of it comes down to about 80% of the profits from all of it is going back to China. A lot of it is slave labor. A lot of it is horrible as far as recycling goes. There's no way to recycle these things, and they have a huge burden on their lifespan to where you're going to be recycling these things every 10 to 15 years, and it's getting into our groundwater, it's destroying the economy, it's destroying everything else around us, and it's what they want. They've been saying for a long time, since the very beginning, they said the United States will no longer be the world superpower. Instead, it's going to be China and a group of other nations that will come together and make their own tribunal to decide what is the best for the globe.
So I want to read a little bit here. This is from Greg Mannarino. He's a Wall Street guy. They call him the Robin Hood Wall Street. And so I just want to read a little bit about what he said in his newsletter this week, okay? Central banks artificially suppressing rates ever since the last meltdown is now today manifesting itself in the form of skyrocketing global inflation and free fall world economy. Central banks are responsible for the global financial and economic systems, both of which are inextricably connected. Moreover, central banks working in concert are deliberately driving the world into a financial economic crisis of truly epic proportions. Central banks have been and continue to work meticulously and intentionally to hyperinflate and monster a global hyperbubble in debt. Cracks in this hyperbubble are now showing themselves, especially as of late, in the form of rapidly rising global bond yields. Rapidly rising bond yields are the product of a sell-off in the debt market, and this in turn is putting pressure on the global stock prices. It is only a matter of time before extreme sell-off in the debt market occurs. An extreme debt market sell-off will not just cause the stock stock market to suffer its biggest crash in history, but will also rock the entire global financial economic system to its core. A stock market crash on the back of a meltdown in the debt market will occur at some point, and we are seeing cracks in the debt market hyper bubble now. But a stock market crash, even of this magnitude, is the least of the problem. The real issue is a complete lockup of the entire financial system worldwide, which means all transactions stop. No cash available from the banks, credit cards and ATM cards no longer work, and no lending, everything full stop rapidly. Make no mistake, central banks are intentionally working toward this inevitable end to the current system, only to issue a new system with much more control. And we talked about the digital currency.
Yep, exactly. Their digital currency, yeah.
And us now in the United States, we're working with MIT and several others to create a digital currency. But when you start breaking all this stuff down, it all gets back to that control.
Yes.
And with what they're doing right now, I'm young enough to remember back when they said it was going to be transitory hyperinflation.
They've lied every step of the way. I've got clip after clip I could show you. I didn't pull it up of, you know, yelling, oh, this, I don't think there's going to be any inflation. Oh. And it just goes on and on as they progress. Oh, well, there might be a little uptick in inflation, but it's going to be transitory. It just goes on. They lie about everything. You know, in fact, if you want to bet on any kind of a financial instrument, whatever the Fed says, do exactly the opposite, and then you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
They're wrong 100% of the time.
That's because they lie.
Well, and so you end up looking at it, too. So they said in the past, right after the whole transitory hyperinflation bit, they said, oh, well, we're not going to increase interest rates right now, which actually would have left us in a lot better situation than we
they
are
lied.
Right now, because we're not going to do that until the economy improves. Well, the economy is not going to improve until you increase the interest rates. And now we're seeing the economy hasn't improved at all, and now they're increasing the interest rates.
Well,
they're looking at double the interest rates.
What they're going to do is probably this week they're going to do three quarters of a basis point, maybe a full basis point. They're talking about this week, but the lending rates are creeping up, whether they like it or not. See, because what's happening is that the debt market drives everything else. It's the derivative. Everything else is the derivative of the debt market. So what's going to happen is they don't have any choice but to raise these things because we either hyperinflate or the whole thing crashes. Either way, you're screwed. It's just one, pick your poison, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they're at. So, are they doing it on purpose? I don't know. I'm not a clairvoyant, but at the same time, the inevitable crash is coming whether you're on one side of the aisle or the other. And then what's going to happen is that there's going to be pain. And the pain is coming. We've heard it. Oh, there's pain coming from Goldman Sachs. They've already said it to Bank of America. Oh, the pain is coming. And what kind of pain are we talking about? World hunger?
Yeah.
Are we talking starvation? And I think that's a lot of it. Then you got all of these attacks, if you will. If not attacks, accidents. We're up to, I checked it on the food stuff. It's up to 104 factories or processing places of food that have gone under. Historically, you know, whether it's fire or bombs or you know, misfeasance, malfeasance, gun, or whatever it is. But historically, they starved them in the Ukraine. They starved them in China. Mm-hmm. You know, they starved them in Cuba. So this is the communist modus operandi, is to shut down all the production, and then when you're starving, and your kids are starving, you have a tendency to go, oh, please save us.
Well, and so when you really look at the breakdown of this, what's interesting about this particular dictatorship that is trying to overthrow the globe is historically communism has failed. Historically, fascism has failed. So mm-hmm. What are they trying this time? They're trying communism for the people and fascism for the companies because that's going to make it so much better.
Yeah, but what are who are the fascists again? Oh, I thought we were the fascists that we wanted freedom, not government control of our factories. I thought we want to follow the law and equal protection, and they want selective prosecution. Who are the fascists here? Who are the traitors? Who are the communists? And you know, the founding fathers are wise men. They knew that government was the biggest evil in the history of man. They knew you had to restrain government, bind them down with the Constitution. Our experiment in self-government requires participation of the population. So what do they try to do? So what they want to do is keep us all separated, disenfranchised on our own little things. Oh, you're LGBTQ and you got your pronouns over here. You're over here with your guns hunting and you're over here, you're religious. religion. You worship Satan. Let's just figure out ways to keep everybody apart. On the big issue is, at the end of the day, we all starve together, and the government controls everyone and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and mind you, too, in regards to this voting situation that we have, one other big aspect of this is what we just saw this last week at Martha's Vineyard. So they had 50 immigrants that were there at Martha's Vineyard, and they acted like it was a freaking
give
seat.
Us all
yeah,
your,
they really didn't like that, huh?
Give
but
us
it's
all
okay
your
for the 2 million to come in our backyard, but heaven forbid you, 50 get in their
we
backyard.
Pull that clip up from KJP or whatever her name is, where she's like, it's the she is the most disconnected
oh,
person.
Oh, how we're trafficking people?
Reality. No, she's like, oh, you can't use political people for political
pawns.
That's
what pawns. I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, that's
what we're
you,
trafficking.
You so that when they're coming over the border in Mexico, they're political pawns for who? Because you're using them? But when they come over the border into Martha's Vineyard, then...
In your backyard,
in
you
your
don't
backyard,
like it.
Then they're being used as political pawns by the other guys.
Yeah.
Well, and two, as of yesterday, Tucker Carlson had a piece that showed that Martha's Vineyard GoFundMe for illegal migrants won't actually go to them. So it's not going to help any of those folks. They sent those folks to Florida.
They're already shipping them out.
Yeah.
They're trying to ship them out.
They're trying to get rid of them
but
back to our backyard, so
this
to speak.
Is the point, though. So what you see is that you have all these new bodies and all these new mouths to feed and all these people who are there, and some of them do end up voting illegally, especially in these sanctuary cities. So when I turn around and take a person that is here illegally and tell them that we're the ones that are allowing you to be here, who are you going to vote for and what states are you going to do it in? Right now, they're not even having to cheat because they have other people cheating for them.
It's really unbelievable that these guys...
Yeah, and the rate that they're coming across the border, it's like 2 million this year. 2 million have come across.
It's actually more than that.
It could
because
be.
The people that we end up seeing, one of the articles that was showing a breakdown from Border Patrol and from the sheriffs who were out there, they were saying for every one illegal immigrant that they catch, five or six make it by. So on average, in an average year, they're catching about 1.6 million people. Now, we are up way over that number this year. And of the people who are coming in, now they're just letting them come in droves. But on an average year, we're looking at 7 million people potentially coming in
by
the United States.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's about almost the size of Arizona.
It's scary stuff.
So, all right, so if you're just going to turn around and pump in all these people in there and a portion of them are going to vote, is that going to sway it in one direction that would be considered election fraud? I would say yes.
Or are you paying those people to go to the ballot box and stuff it? Not that we haven't seen that before. I'm just saying, it, you know, it couldn't be a possibility.
You know, this whole thing's backfiring on them.
The tide is turning, like you're saying. Right now what we're seeing is we're actually seeing across the board more than 50% of the population now wants to secure our borders. And we need to secure our borders because the thing about it is, and it is so incredibly unjust to the people who come here legally, who have
yes.
their queue in line. When you come here legally and you have your queue in line, you sign on a piece of paper that says you can't accept financial assistance. You sign on a piece of paper that you can be deported if you end up having issues here in this country. These people don't do that. These people come here and they hop right on the social bandwagon of all of the rest of the little things that mm-hmm. they get. They work side jobs and the rest of it. Not all of them, but a portion of them. And it's coming out of the taxpayers' funding while we're at this point in time going through dire economic stress.
Well, it's going to get ugly before it gets better, or uglier, I guess is the way you'd put it. But
At this point, the sad thing is from what I've been seeing, there is no way out. No matter who you elect at this point in time, there is going to be pain.
Oh, there's no question about that.
There's
going to
be problems.
You know,
yeah, definitely.
Who's going to save us is ourselves. American ingenuity, American grit, American...
people standing with one another and helping one another.
In American community.
In American
community.
The
thing about
right.
it is we've got to get back to the point to where we can focus on really what is the best for our nation and how we can get there and discuss the problems at hand and come together over that, because a nation divided shall not stand. Mm. And what we're seeing right now is they don't want us to stand. So we as Americans need to stand arm in arm, and right now I only see one side willing to do that.
Well, and again, you know, these other, there's going to be 30% that just don't get it, period. You know, and they're just the useful idiots, and there's always those people out there.
So I'd have to disagree with that statement, because the problem is right now is you look at those 30%, you could just look at the people who are already in the government. People under the age of 30, more than 50% of them work for the government right now. People under the age of 30 mostly work for Facebook and Google and these places like that. So when you end up looking at these environments and the people who are at the top, if you have an opinion that's other than what that is, and they can find it on their own social media sites, you'll be crucified.
Well, it doesn't matter, because those things are falling apart anyway. I mean, Facebook is starting to go under because they're losing their market share, because who wants to be on Facebook to get lied to and censored, you know? And so I think you're going to see that across a lot of the platforms. Does anybody use Twitter anymore? I mean, Twitter's a cesspool. You go on Twitter and it's a complete cesspool. All it is people throwing mud at everybody.
Twitter is 3% of the people that are on it are the most active, and they're also the most disruptive.
Right.
I mean, all it is people yelling and debating and screaming back and forth.
It's not even
other.
A debate. It's just name-calling.
Most
of the time it's name-calling. I'm not saying there's no debate, but I'm saying that most of it is just name-calling.
And there's the big thing about the bots. I mean, how many of these, when you end up looking at all of these different accounts that are out there, are bots? Like, there was one study that was
done. We got Carl and Linda, but I don't know.
Oh, we're not talking about that.
About Mr. and Mrs. Bot. We're talking about the bots.
Yes, we're talking about the bots. So on Facebook, for instance, what they found is amongst the top groups that are like the Christian groups, over 60% of them were Russian bots saying hateful and incendiary things
and
stirring
strife. I know, it's all baloney. It's all baloney. It doesn't even exist. It's all.
Yeah, but they're using bots in the IRS now.
Yeah, well, and also on top of that, you end up – have you guys heard of the 50 Cent Army?
No.
No, I don't think I've heard of that one.
Okay, so the 50 Cent Army is a group of people that China pays 50 cents for every post that supports the communist agenda.
Jeez.
And so we end up seeing this taking place all across the board. And so there's a healthy element of saying whether or not am I arguing with a bot when I'm talking with somebody and they seem like they're just – non-coherent and non-compliant. I really do have to question it now based upon the numbers.
Well, I think the sleeping giant has been awakened. I think the people are waking up. It's like Bongino said at the start of his thing. People are slowly realizing, and more quickly now, that the enemy is not some foreign country. It's not the Russians. It is the people in the DOJ and the FBI and our local officials who will not support and defend the Constitution. And so that's what we need to do at the local, federal, and state level, is replace those people with people who respect the Constitution, even who have even read it. You know, I mean, Mary Rickards.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
She doesn't even know that the Constitution is about being a constitutional republic. She thinks it's a democracy. And she's not. She's a Republican. Okay, so that's how you get elected, is that you put Republican on your name, but you support every left-wing policy that comes down the pipe. How does that even – it's like that we talked about with the Democrats saying, well, we got to, you know, immediately start running as Republicans so that we can get elected and our guys in place. That's all they did.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just ridiculous. Anyway, we're about 4 minutes away from the whole thing wrapping up.
So here's an interesting one that has national consequences that could be either good or bad, but 18 states have asked President Joe Biden to classify fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction. The Attorney General sent a letter to the President saying the classification could protect American citizens from a mass casualty event. As you well know, the national opiate crisis has not been in a static event. The group wrote in September 14th, instead of opiate and epidemic in this country has evolved over time from prescription opiates to heroin and synthetic opiates. Now, they go on to talk about how approximately 90,000 people have died from drug overdose between November 1, 2019 to October 31st, 2020.
And where are they coming from? And how is it getting into the country?
Mexico, generally, but before it reaches Mexico, normally it's synthesized in China, and we already know.
Right, but
China.
It's coming through our southern border once again.
I think we need to go after the parents at school board meetings.
Well, so this
they're
interesting
the terrorists
too, because it was last year that they had,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I had it right here, but
it just gets me, you know. Again, we go back to the border and all those people coming across, and they're bringing that and killing.
But let's focus all of our efforts on white supremacists, you know,
yeah.
Because that's where all the terrorists are.
The MAGA people.
Even though the FBI's whistleblowers came out and said that they've been overblowing that so that they can use it against the domestic population.
So here was the quote I wanted to read. Enough fentanyl has been seized in the last year to kill every man, woman, and child in the United States several times over.
Well, it's a problem.
And
it's
they were scary. Talking about whether or not it's just a matter of time until they use it to create a mass casualty.
I wonder if they'll get have a vaccine for that.
They have Narcan or whatever.
Well, that's actually, it's incredibly sad because I was reading an article and hearing a story of a mother whose daughter was sent home with Narcan and she was 7 years old.
Oh, my God.
Aye.
And they sent her home with a packet of Narcan because they're saying that it's such an epidemic now that kids in school are dying all across the nation. And so they're giving 7-year-olds Narcan so that they can potentially save their own life or other people. So it is something that's pretty chilling, but it also, by the same token, there's a huge operation right now, and if that goes through, that's declaring war on these drug cartels, and that's cutting into their big business, but it's also declaring war on China's war on us.
Okay. Here's the last story. Demand for white supremacy from the FBI headquarters vastly outstrips the supply of white supremacy. President Biden will convene a forum along with the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, aimed at confronting supposed rise in extremists and white supremacy that it has claimed to threaten the core of the American democracy. It's the biggest threat there is. A specialized Justice Department unit to combat domestic terrorists has been created. Meanwhile, multiple FBI agents told the Washington Times that the perceived threat has become overblown under the administration. They say the bureau analysts and top officials are pressuring FBI agents to actually create domestic terrorist cases and to tag people as white supremacists, including parents at school board meetings, to meet internal metrics. The demand for white supremacy coming from FBI headquarters vastly outstrips the supply of white supremacists.
All right, we're at the top.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Wow, we are really at the top.
Your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.